Blog Talk Radio.
New beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in to New Beginnings Ministries. We are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we thank you for participating. For those of you that's listening by internet, if you'd like to participate, we are an interactive Bible study. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you can participate with the discussion. Amen. We're going to move on into, we're going to have prayer for, and then after we have prayer, then we're going to move in into our discussion this evening. We are coming from 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. That's 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. And we're going to dissect that, and then by dissecting it, meaning that we're going to break it down, and however it relates to you, however it speaks to you, we have a dialogue on that again. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you because you are the one that I turn to for help in moments of weakness and times of need. Father, I ask you to be with your servant in this illness. In Psalms 107:20, Father, it says that you sing out your word and heal, and we believe it. So then, please send your healing and your word for your servants that we call upon. In the name of Jesus, we drive out all infirmities, sickness, from anything that they may be going through. Father, the names that we call out, Pastor Paul Robinson from out of Tennessee, Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta, Sister Jeanette Dickerson from out of Alabama, Stuart Hawthorne from out of Cleveland. And Father, there are many more that are in need of prayer. You know who they are. You know what they're in need of. We ask, Father, Lord, that they would turn to you in their time of weakness. We ask that you would just give them strength, that you would give them comfort, that you would fill them with patience and joy in your presence as we wait for your healing touch. All this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. This evening, our topic this evening is, have you read your owner's manual lately? Have you read your owner's manual lately? What is an owner's manual? An owner's manual is considered a book of instructions. When you get a car, you have an owner's manual. When you have a problem, you go to your owner's manual for instruction. An engine light comes on. What do? You go to the owner's manual to find out what is the problem. On my car, my brake light comes on. I have to go to my owner's manual to find out why is my brake light coming on. We do that before we take it to the mechanic. We look through our owner's manual before we take it to the mechanic. And I'm sure that you've had different situations that you've come across where you didn't know what the problem was. And my question is, have you read the owner's manual? Did you look at the instructions to find out what the problem was? Because you could have looked in your owner's manual and it could have given you all the information that you needed to deal with that problem. Have you read your owner's manual? So we're coming from 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. And in the book of Corinthians, Paul said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me for the sake of Christ. Then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. And then Paul goes on to say that, well, when I am weak, then I am strong. That is the closing comment in his epistle. So as we move on, and as I said, that we're going to dissect it, and I do invite you for your comments. I do invite you for your comments. This is an interactive Bible study, and we just come together as the body of Christ just to talk about the Word of God, what it says to you. There may be something that's said that had an impact on your life that you can share with the body of Christ, those who are listening, those who are commenting, and those who are not commenting. And Paul, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. So Paul goes on to not forget that God gave him a constant reminder of his weakness. He gave him a constant reminder of his weakness. And it sounds to me that sometimes we can get caught up in our strength, and we begin to boast. We get caught up in our strengths, and we begin to boast. And it says here, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. As I move on, I'm going to do a little different than others that that come on. I'm going to open it up for a discussion. My grace is sufficient for you. We are coming out of 2 Corinthians 12:8-10. The topic is, have you read your owner's manual? And we're in the topic of talking about my grace is sufficient for you. Now, grace is something that unmerited favor. It's an unmerited favor of God. It is a gift. I look at it as a gift, a blessing, unmerited favor. When someone says you have favor, that means that you have a gift of blessings that God has bestowed upon you. Unmerited favor. Any comments? Amen. As we move on, and keep in mind, this is a dialogue. This is a dialogue. So, you know, when you want to share, your mics are potted up. We can hear everything that you're doing, even in the background. Amen? So all you have to do is just talk. I don't have to pop the mics up. Your mics are already on. Amen? So Paul would not forget, he said that God gave him a constant reminder of his weakness. And it goes on, and he talked about it, says he talked about explanations concerning the nature of his thorn in the flesh. Thorn in the flesh. When I think of the word thorn, to me, a thorn is something that's pointed. It's a plant that's pointed, a plant that's pointed, something sharp. even a branch, something that's sharp, and with and at the touch of that thorn, you notice it. There's a certain uncomfortable feeling that you get, or that I get, whenever I'm in contact. If I am reaching down into a bed of roses, if I happen to touch my arm, or the flesh happens to come in contact with a thorn, I feel it. And it's an uncomfortable feeling. And here it says, he's talking about, he's concerning the nature of his thorn in his flesh that has been offered to him. Meaning that there are, it's constant reminders of things that he may be doing or he may be going through. His weakness. God is reminding him. He's reminding him that in his weakness, that there's strength. And Paul may be looking at his weakness as being an uncomfortable feeling, a place where he may not want to be. Now, I know in society, we look at weakness as something that we don't want to participate in. We don't want to be seen as a weak person. We don't want to be looked at as weak in our skill. We don't want to be called weak. Now, that's from the fleshly side. We don't like to be looked at as weak. We want to be seen as a conqueror. We want to be seen as the strong one, the one with the strength, the one that can do it all. And I wonder, when Paul talks about this being a thorn in his flesh, could it be a constant reminder to him that things that he may be going through? Amen. Could it be some, and it goes on, and it talks about the incessant temptations. The incessant temptations. You know, incessant is something that's unpleasant, something that's unpleasant to you. Like that thorn that keeps touching you. It's unpleasant to the flesh. Something that may be going through our mind at a time that we'd be going through that weakness, an unpleasant thought when we think about it, that weakness, an incessant temptation to think about it. And it goes on to say that talks about opponents. When you have an opponent, that's someone who is not on your side but against you. So these may be people who may be talking about you because of your weakness. Being at war, an opponent coming at you, you know that when they're coming at you, it's nothing that's going to be pleasant. Or even, it could be a situation of a chronic malady, some type of disease that one may be going through. Maybe someone has a disease, and that disease is a constant reminder of a weakness. That disease is a thorn in your flesh. A constant reminder, unrelenting, over and over and over again, you're going through the thoughts of that weakness or that state of mind that you may be going through, that thorn in the flesh. What about a migraine headache? having a migraine headache. And you know what a migraine, you know how a migraine headache affects you and I? It's relentless. It keeps over and over and over. It's continuous. The headache could be a weakness. Imagine if it occurs. I know people that it occurs regularly. They get migraine headaches constantly. And that may be a thorn in their flesh of knowing that they are constantly having migraine headaches. To that person, it may be a weakness. What about epilepsy? Epilepsy. Someone that has, that their constant is constant. And when they think about it, it's a thorn in their flesh. It's something that's constantly on their mind because it can happen at any time. It's an unpleasant feeling. There are interruptions in your daily activities because you look at it as a weakness, or we look at it as a weakness, because it's something that we're constantly going through. What about a disability in speech? A disability in speech. One may feel that that is a thorn in their flesh. Why? Because every time they have to communicate, they feel it's a weakness. And others may look at them like it's a weakness. Interruptions in one's mind. And it goes over and it talks, we talk about the interruption. So, and when I said from the very beginning, it says, so Paul would not forget this. God gave him a constant reminder of his weaknesses. Infections. Constantly getting infections. Constantly. Constantly. That may be considered a weakness. Any comments? Any comments? Come on, body of Christ. Come on with me through this. Amen. As we move on, as Paul is writing, as he wrote in his epistle, we can't really understand what it was. Was it a physical affliction? Was he talking about the work of Satan and the body of Christ? But whatever it was, in his epistle, Paul understood that this would be considered a thorn in the flesh. It was something that would hinder a wide greater and a more effective ministry. Paul looked at this as a thorn in the flesh. A physical affliction? Was it the work of Satan? Whatever it was, in his epistle, he talked about that this thorn being a hindrance to what God wanted to take the body of Christ. This thorn in the flesh was a hindrance to a wider and a more effective ministry. And in fact, when something is a thorn in the flesh, and it is preventing one from moving further into what God has in store for them, then we would look at this as almost like a petition for God's removal. A petition for God's removal. Why? Because this thorn in the flesh is a constant reminder. It's a focus on what I'm going through. It's an uninterrupted, an unpleasant feeling because of the weaknesses that I may be going through at this time. And as I'm going through this weakness, I'm looking at it as not a strength, but a weakness. I'm weak because I constantly have migraine headaches. It's a weakness because I have malaria. It's a weakness because I have epilepsy. It's a weakness because I have a disability in my speech. It's a weakness because I have this malady, this disease that I have. It's a constant reminder that it's a weakness. And Paul is saying in his epistle that most would consider this thorn a hindrance to your effective ministry. And he goes on to say that it would even look at it as a petition for its removal. A petition to God for its removal. A petition to God to ask to get rid of it. Get rid of this weakness. Get rid of this whatever I'm going through. I don't want it. I don't want it. Get rid of it. It's a hindrance. I can't move forward as long as I have these uninterrupted, unpleasant thoughts. Any comments? The mic's open.
You might, for example, when we talk about weakness, look at a body trainer, weightlifter. But when you look at the human anatomy, physiology, when you lift weights, you're actually tearing muscle. And muscle becomes weak as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the end result is the muscle starts to heal. But when it heals itself, it becomes stronger. Mm-hmm. When you break a bone, in your leg, for example, you put a cast on it, perhaps surgery, but basically your bone is actually stronger in that area because of the mending process.
Mm-hmm.
When we go through sickness, we see that as or any ailment, it may be temporary, it may be permanent, but it may be, we may see it as a weakness, but in reality, it may be a strength. It may be a sign that it's leading us to help others to grow. And spiritually, we're being blessed, and we don't even realize it. So you have to, it's a matter of how you look at things. You know, some people will look at, I don't have enough money to meet my needs, as opposed to I need to rely on God, let him take the steering wheel, and let him steer me where he wants me to be. maybe this is where he wants me to be. It's a lesson he needs me to learn so that I can help somebody else. Because I've been through this, I can now help somebody else to progress to a stronger position financially, physically, spiritually. So anyway, yeah, you have to appreciate that weakness for what it is, but and understand what God has in mind for you. And Job is a clear example of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 So therefore, in that weakness, or which is considered a weakness at that time, you're saying take that weakness and allow others to learn from it, from your strength.
Yeah, and you learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Any more comments? Now, brothers, my sisters, any more comments? The mics are open. Any comments? Amen. For those of you that tuned in, that have just tuned in, we are coming from 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. I would like to continue on that through this epistle, there's a challenge. I see a challenge. My power versus Christ's power. I see a challenge in this epistle. My power versus Christ's power. And I say that is that how is this displayed, that because of our human weaknesses, that sometimes we look at fleshly side of things, the fleshly power of things, rather than Christ's power. And I spoke earlier about, and my brother talked about in terms of in his weakness, that you take and you strengthen yourself to strengthen your brother and your sister. And it's almost like that same concept, that when we are strong in a situation, do we look at it as my power, or do we look at it as Christ's power? And when we look at it as that, it's almost like it's displayed in almost like throughout the letter, it's talking about the human weakness, the human weaknesses, and through it, it is grace. Through the weaknesses, there is grace. And where there is grace, there should be praise. Let me rewind again. When there is a weakness, there is grace. And where there is grace, there should be praise. And you know, we talked about grace, and we know that you know exactly what it means. Grace is an unmerited favor of God. And it goes on to say it's manifested in the salvation of sinners, and it's bestowal of blessings. It's a bestowal of blessings. Blessings. Not blessing, but I'm talking about plural. Blessing. Not just one, but many. Unmerited favor of God. So where there is a weakness, that we may be going through, a weakness that we may be having. In this epistle, Paul is saying, I'm seeing it, Paul saying that, that through that weakness, that there should be grace. And where there is grace, there should be praise. And here it talks about, it says, rather than removing the problem in his letter, God gave grace in it. When he says, this grace is sufficient. This grace is sufficient. And you know how often we look at that, this grace is sufficient. But when we look at the big picture of grace, talking about the favor of God, and we're talking about the many blessings, we're looking at it saying, this grace, or these blessings that I give you, is sufficient for you to handle it. Unmerited favor, my God. I mean, when I think about that, I'm not going to get off track in terms of what Paul was talking about. I'm not going to get off track. We're talking about, you know, grace, and we're talking about praise. And it's saying here, rather than removing a problem, God gave him grace in it. And he said, this grace is sufficient. This grace is adequate enough to provide contentment. This grace in your weakness, my brother, my sister, whatever you may be going through, Paul is saying in his epistle that whatever you may be going through, in epilepsy, those migraine headaches, that disease, whatever type of dog opponents that may be around you, that are talking about you on a regular basis, any type of incessant temptation, that when you're going through that weakness, God is saying this grace is sufficient and is adequate, my grace. Remember, we talked about verses, weakness, when we're talking about my power versus Christ's power. And we looked at it, and it says, it's adequate for providing contentment. It goes on to even say, I'm even looking at it, it says, where Paul's talking about his letter, that it also keeps me from becoming conceited. Keeps me from becoming conceited. Do you know of any conceited person? When they're conceited, what is considered conceited to you? How do you describe a conceited person? To me, someone who's conceited, who is always boasting about what they can do. They're always boasting about what they have. They're always boasting about something to the public.
Make themselves look good.
Making themselves look good. Amen.
And stand out.
And stand out.
Out of the manner.
And it goes on. And to say, any comments, I'm sorry, I did not take a minute for you who are listening, if you have any comments.
No, one take I would also have is that we all have weaknesses, and they are inherited from Adam and Eve, and it really took a perfect being.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you could do or I can do to justify our salvation. It's a strictly a gift by grace for Jesus Christ to shed his blood, to give his life for our sin. There's nothing we could possibly do that could match that gift. The only thing is to have faith and to accept the gift.
Amen.
And to grow.
Amen. Amen. Any more comments? Mics are open. Any more comments?
Also, be careful how you look at other people, you know, and their weaknesses and their sins, and not place yourself in judgment of them. Because it would be very easy for people to judge you. And Christ, when he was here, he dealt with everybody. Even when you look at Paul, before he became Paul, he was persecuting sinners. I mean, excuse me, Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to suffer a weakness. He was blinded. And from that blindness, the weakness. But anyway, he was given a cure. He was given directions that he had to follow. And his sight was restored, and his vision was restored. And I'm speaking of his spiritual vision as well as his actual vision. So he was no longer persecuting Christians, but he was seeking them out to lead them to Christ. His position, it made a 360-degree turn. So he's a totally different person based on a weakness that he incurred. He didn't like the position he was in. He was powerful before, was probably a narcissistic, conceited. But anyway, he had to humble himself. He had to become a different person. He had to become stronger, and he became stronger by Christ.
Amen. 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 I like that. He became stronger because of Christ. Amen. Amen. And again, for those of you that's tuning in, I'm seeing so many numbers that's popping up out of state. We're in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, and the topic is, have you read your owner's manual lately? Amen. As we move on, it talks about, and we talked about in terms of, even you was just saying in terms of being conceited. Amen. Twice. Paul talks about it in his epistle. He talks about being conceited. And it goes on to say that God's grace transformed Paul's perspective. And he was right on, my brother. It transformed Paul's perspective, experiences in his ministry, to things that he naturally hated. The way he viewed things, these were things that he actually hated. And he talked about in terms of people being conceited. Being conceited. He hated that. And he welcomed supernaturally the evidence of Christ's power because it brought glory to God. Not Paul. It brought glory to God, not Paul. It brought glory to God and not Paul. And so when we look at our weaknesses, we look at what you may be going through, a disease that you may have, a disability that you may incur through your speech. You may have epilepsy, headaches, migraine headaches, malaria, all type of diseases, any type of incestuous temptation, anything that you may be going through that you look at as a weakness. Paul goes on to say that it is a weakness only if you look at it by your power. And that's what I said before when I gave that terminology. My power versus Christ's power. if I look at my situation, then you notice I said my situation, what I'm going through. If I look at it as me going through it and my power of trying to overcome it, then I'm in the wrong lane. I'm in the wrong lane. And Paul is saying in his epistle that it's God's power, it's God's grace, it's God's favor that we have to handle that situation with. Paul came to the end where he talks about Christ alone. It wasn't about Paul. It wasn't about what the human side could do. Paul moved on over, and all we see in this letter is Christ alone. And it says, when he was weak, then Christ, by his strength, could make Paul spiritually strong. And when we look at the power, in the Greek term, it says dynamos, or dynamis. No, dynamos in the Greek term means, dynamos means power in the Greek term. Dynamis is strength. Dynamos is power. Dynamis is strength. So when he was weak, then Christ, by his strength, could make Paul spiritually strong. So whatever Paul was going through at that time, Paul was able to take whatever the challenges that he had in his life, he could take it off and throw it on to Christ, where it was Christ alone. Paul didn't look at what he was going through. He threw it on over to Christ. His strength could make Paul spiritually strong. The word strength is what makes him strong. Through his weaknesses, through your weaknesses. And we all have weaknesses. We all have things that we are going through. My question is, have you read your manual lately? Have you looked in your manual to see what God says about that weakness? Or are you trying to figure it out on your own? Are you looking to try to do things yourself? Or have you just put self out of the way and you've turned it on over to Christ alone? Because if you have not, then there is a challenge. There's a tug of war. Power versus Christ's power. And what Paul is saying in this epistle is, take it out of my and put it on Christ. Paul realized that he was nothing in the eyes of Christ. And what he was going through, he was nothing. But it was by the grace of God that he was able to do everything. By God's grace, by Christ's power, this grace is sufficient. Whatever you're going through, whatever your challenges may be, Paul is saying that this grace is sufficient. And where it may appear that you may be weak, when you switch it and turn it all over to Christ alone, then that's the area where you're strongest. Any comments? My goodness, I have a quiet group this evening.
So much information to take in as it relates to our lives and the application.
Praise the Lord. Any comments? All mics are open. All you have to do is talk, please. Any comments? For those of you that's been listening, again, we came from 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. If you would like to go to the archives to listen to it, you can go to the archives and you can listen to what was what we talked about. You can listen to it over again, or even share it with a friend, someone that you may know, that in this epistle that Paul was speaking of, someone that you would like to share it with, and let them know that they don't have to go through it by themselves, that they can turn it over to Christ. And once we turn it over to Christ, they will have a different outcome. There's a different outcome, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And I don't know about you, that we're always going to have challenges in our lives. And those challenges, when they come, how do we handle them? Do we try to handle them on our own? Or do we go to our owner's manual for help? So I pray that through our weaknesses, that we would continue to rely on Christ. That we would rely on Christ, because that is the only way that we're going to make it through our times of trials, through Christ alone. Amen. I'm going to have prayer. If anyone does not have comments, I'm going to have prayer. For those of you who listen by internet, we do thank you for tuning in. We'd like to invite you back next Wednesday. We do invite you to participate. And again, if you would like to call in, please do. I have spoken with some of you, and I know that many of you do not call in simply because of the minutes that you have on your phone. So we do understand that. As long as we're going through this Bible blog and you are, you're being blessed, that you're being blessed. You are a part of the body. We are all a part of the body, and we're in this together. And when you're going through something and you would like someone placed on the prayer list, just you can go to the chat line. You can give us a call or any way that you can, and we would place that person on the prayer list. We have constantly some mighty men and women of God who are constantly on, and I'm sure that those that are online right now, they are mighty men and women of God, and we're always here to support each other. We're always here to support each other. It's not an individual piece. You know, we are a body. What does that mean? That means that we're all in this together. There are challenges that each and every one of us have. And keep in mind that when we are speaking biblically, theologically, we are talking about challenges that we all go through, challenges that we all have. Amen? And these are just instructions that we are to go through. And as long as we follow the instructions, we'll know how to solve that problem, because it's already written in our manual, in the Bible. It's already written. Anything that we're going through, anything that we need to know, is already written in the Word of God. God has given us instructions. And here Paul is just, He's just sharing a letter that he's written, and we are just dissecting it, breaking it down, and what Paul may be going through at that particular time. And we do offer any comments that you may have, something that you may read into that you want to share with the body, so that we all grow together. Amen. Nothing ever is able to go out with a closed hand. Amen. So we offer everything openly and freely so that we all may receive. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I ask you to turn this witness into a strength, suffering into compassion, sorrow into joy, pain into comfort for others. May your servant trust in your goodness and hope in your faithfulness. Even in the middle of this suffering, let him or her be filled with patience and joy in your presence as they await for your healing touch. Please restore your servant to the full health, dear Father. Remove all fear and doubt from their heart by the power of your Holy Spirit. And may you, Lord, be glorified through his or her life. As you heal and renew your servant, Lord, may they bless you and praise you. All this I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Again, thank you for tuning in. May God bless you.
I can begin again.